There's a pastor friend of mine, Jeff Carpenter. I'll tell you who he is. He went to the bathroom and he was whistling, man. He was just doing it. Everybody knew right away who was in the bathroom and what he was doing, you know. That's going to happen to me one day, I guarantee you. But anyhow, where was I at? I'm a Lone Ranger tonight. A brown she's going to get upset with me, but she's not here. She's not going to listen. But we're going to be at the marriage conference, Lord willing, with Brother Constantino. And he's going to let me and Yvonne do a skit. Man, it's going to, I mean, that'll be worth coming, folks. Just to see that skit. I mean, the fact that she would do it, you know she's going to have the upper hand, right? That's going to be fun. But anyhow, she's resting. It's been a rough weekend for us, and it's been a blessing. And we had decided to come down and, you know, just spend some time with me and her and Teresa and her other two daughters. And we've done that, you know, a few surprises. Yesterday, a van almost blew up on us. You know, I was in the store getting some copies made, and Teresa comes in the store. It's an emergency. Dad, you got to come. The van just blew up. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. And then, of course, one of my lifetime deacons showed up, and it was Vic. He said, oh, it didn't blow up. You just blew a water hose or whatever, radiator hose, or maybe you blew the radiator. And so we're hoping, we're praying that it's not the engine. So keep us in prayer on that one, okay? But they're resting. I preached this morning at Miller Road Baptist Church. That was a real blessing. And I sang for the conference over at Calvary Heights yesterday. And so it's been we're pretty, a little busy, tired, but I'm glad to be here. Okay, let me pray before I say something I shouldn't say. Father, I feel like I'm at home, right here, this church. I feel as though Rich is one of my pastors, a counselor, a friend. He reproves, he rebukes, he counsels, and boy, does he love on me. He is the one that told me that as an evangelist, I'm a member of a lot of different churches, including this one. And I'm here, Father, once again, because he's not feeling well. And I just want to be a blessing to the folks that are here. And the only way I can do that is if you allow me to. So I pray that you'd wash me thoroughly from any iniquity, cleanse me from any sin that would keep me from being used by you tonight. Please. I can do nothing without you. Don't want to try. Help me, Holy Spirit, to be swift to hear you speak as I speak. Quick to hear and slow to speak until you speak to me and through me. And I know the folks will be blessed if I do. I want to talk about the armor of God again tonight. I'm sure, Lord, I can do no more than just to remind folks. And even before I begin, I will say this, that the word clearly tells us that Satan is trying to wear out the saints because he knows that his time is short. Speak, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a song the Lord laid on my heart right before I came up. I didn't intend on singing this one, but when you start getting a little older, you start learning how to discern the voice of God. Amen? A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood, of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled could threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. Amen for that. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gift are ours, through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they make him. God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. Tough song to sing. Amen. I lost another sister last weekend, guys. After losing Wendy and Yvonne's twin brother right around Valentine's Day. But praise the Lord, she asked me when the week she was passing, she said, could you help me to make peace with God? And so we did that. And she asked me also, she said, could you come and see me? Promise me you'll come and see me before I die. Because they had taken her off of dialysis. And they just said they would nothing else they could do for her. She's been suffering for 2 decades at least. And I didn't make it. I got halfway there and my other sister called me and told me that she had passed that morning. At first I said, Lord, why did you do that to me? You know, why did you bring me this far? And I was reminded of a message I preached here not long ago. All things work together for good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I said, okay, this is one of those things then. It's not my will, but thy will be done. So I was able to comfort her husband and her one and only son. Since then, I got a call a couple of days ago that my sister that just had a kidney transplant a couple months ago, she's back in the hospital because her white cell count was down to 1% or 1%. Anybody understand what that means? Well, she's not in good shape, and they don't know what that. I asked Dr. Caesar. I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Tony, what happened is that they compromised her immune system so that her immune system won't attack her new kidney." And they overcompromised or whatever they did, you know. But we know that God, she's in God's hands. So, you know, I said all that to keep my family in prayer. Keep the vehicle in prayer. I pray that it was just a radiator or a hose and not the engine. She's on her last leg. We know that. Amen. I've got some more CDs here. You got the Mother's Day CD. If you didn't get a Mother's Day CD, there's some here. I made a Valentine's Day CD, and I think they get better every time. I do, and I'm working on old-fashioned hymn CD next, and I'll have that ready for you, and I'll just gift it to the church, amen? And if you don't have a CD player, we'll put it on Spotify and whatever else, the newfangled stuff they use, okay? Even mixing some Hispanic songs in there. I've got Pastor Rodriguez doing a song. I call him Felicia, Jose Feliciano. That's his name. He doesn't like it, but he always tells me that my Spanish hurts his ears. I told him his English hurts mine. I also have a prayer. I've got prayer cards in case you lost them. And I also have a prayer list for the Gladiators ministry up here. So come on up and go shopping, okay? I mean, everything doesn't cost you anything, all right? I just want you to be a part of what I'm doing. And lest I forget, I will tell you this, that I quit my part-time job, the one that I was delivering dentures. Remember that one? I was making $14 an hour, working 16 hours a week, bringing home $200 a week. And so it's not a major sacrifice, but I believe the Lord made up my mind that I need to let the job go and take care of my wife. You know, Yvonne, when she comes, she looks real tough and really looks really nice, but she's still struggling from some of the residue of the stroke. She won't eat right, so please pray about that. She's just a doggone stubborn. A lot of things she doesn't do. I'll tell you this. There's times when me and Teresa will bug her about eating, and we're that close to her having a diabetic coma because she won't eat right. And if you're nurses and you know everything about the medical field, you know that's very, very dangerous. And not just that, it's just a lot of other things going on. She's about to go into hospital because she got severe carpal tunnel. And I just need to be there with her. I need to be her number one caregiver. And so if you'll pray about that, we would appreciate it. Okay. I come to you tonight as a missionary evangelist. And I want to read a letter to you before I get started. It's part of the message. Dear FBBC, this is a Macedonian call. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. You're familiar with that portion of scripture. Please come over in spirit to Rochester to help us. My name is Tony Saxton, so this is a form letter, but I'm presenting to you personally. I'm currently serving the Lord as an evangelist with the heart of a pastor after having been a pastor for 22 years with the heart of an evangelist. My mission field, like yours, is the world, starting in my own backyard. My Jerusalem is the Avenue D community where I work and live in the heart of the city of Rochester, New York. If you know Avenue D, you know that it's been called one of the murder capitals of the world per capita. It's not a pretty sight. And Vic, you've been over on Avenue D. You know, I don't know if you've heard, always in the newspaper, being very, very violent area. My brother and I personally feel that the inner cities of the United States are the greatest mission fields in the world, without apology. I believe that. And I know you do too, don't you, brother? The enemy is stealing, killing, and destroying lives as we speak. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." A missionary friend of mine, Bobby Bonner, told me approximately 15 years ago that I would rather be in the jungles of Zambia, South Africa, than the streets of Avenue D. Well, unlike Bobby, I would rather be on the streets of Avenue D community, where I work and live and et cetera, than in Zambia, even though I know that the animals in Zambia don't shoot back. I saw a kid get shot 9 times outside of my bathroom window. He lived. After he was prayed for, he thought he was 50 cents. He's starting to feel some of the effects of those bullets now. 9 bullets in him. My brethren, God has given me his burden, not only to see men, women, and boys and girls to get saved, but also to see them discipled like never before. As an evangelist, the Lord has given me more open doors of opportunity to evangelize and a ministry tool to see people saved and discipled. The ministry tool is called God's Gladiators. It's a discipleship ministry birthed from Ephesians 6:10-18 concerning the armor of God. Considering the nature of the spiritual battle we face, not only in our personal lives, but especially in our inner cities, this ministry tool is appropriately named. God's Gladiators is a Christ-centered discipleship ministry established by me as I served as senior pastor of Charity Bible Baptist Church in 1993. Some aspects of this ministry has been and is still being used to help those who are faithful to his disciplines to become more like Christ. I have sent and I will send information to your pastor concerning the ministry. I have made a profile and everything for it. Once again, my brethren and sisters, I need your help. I need the help of the body of Christ at large, because as Nehemiah said, the work is great and large. I need God's army to help fight this spiritual battle with the devil. I don't fear the devil like I used to. I don't play with him neither. I'm not going to teach kids how to focus more on him than God. God says a man, when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies, he'll make him at peace with him. I've been under attack for years trying to reestablish this ministry. My families have been under attack for years. Satan doesn't like it. And I believe that God is holding them back now. But I think the floodgates are going to open. And my prayer, and you'll find in that prayer list, is that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that God will raise up, his spirit would raise up a standard against him. Rochester is under siege. There's a principality over a municipality that is influencing all the demonic activity that is going on in Rochester. Rochester at one time was evangelized and revived. The Lord used Finney. But since he's gone, there's such a vacuum in that area. My brethren, I know that many of you who don't live and serve the Lord in inner cities, however, you may still have a God-given burden for the city or your city. Many of you want to help evangelize and disciple in your city. You don't know how. Some and not all of you here and at large who don't live in the city are kind of afraid to go in the city. And I don't blame you, because I'm kind of afraid to live there sometimes. But I do know this, that the safest place to live is in the will of God. Amen. The streets are dangerous, and I'd be a fool if I didn't acknowledge that. If you're interested, please pray. That's the support we need most. Encloses this suggested prayer list. Please consider allowing me to come to your church to share my testimony, burden, and the ministry to motivate, challenge, and encourage you and your church family to evangelize and disciple people in your own area. That was a form letter, but I read it to you personally because I don't get any more. I get the best support anywhere, right here, through your pastor. I'll send him this letter. It's a ministry. People talk a lot about us older folks retiring. I'm like a Caleb, man. I want that mountain. Amen? I can retire into a ministry like this because it's going to take a lot of attention. I got to eat, sleep, drink. I got to be with these young people. Amen? I know it's going to take because I've been working with them for years. That doesn't mean I won't continue to preach, because when I preach, people say they're being ministered to, and I want to minister to God's people, and I'll try to do that tonight. But that's where my heart is, and I'm sharing my burden with you tonight. Amen? I don't know if I've shown you these slides or not yet, but I'm going to take a few minutes to show you the slides, and I'm going to try to get everything done by about 7:15. I know usually out by 7 o'clock or close to it. And I respect the time. And so I'm going to try to use it wisely. I'm going to be editing. I preached this message somewhat to some degree here before. And I know that Dan remembers because he enjoyed it the first time I did it. He made comment of it. You told your pastor because he wasn't here then either. But anyhow, and I say that respectfully because I know that if he wasn't sick, he'd be here. That's my man. But anyhow, let me show you some slides, and hopefully I can get this done in 5 minutes so I can preach a message to you. Back it up just for a second, please. That's it. That's our logo. God's Gladiators, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And I like the way it's not really attractive to young kids and everything, but who cares? I like the way it's spelled out. You see salvation for the helmet, the breastplate of righteousness, amen. You see the shield of faith. You see the belt of truth, and you see the feet, the gospel of peace. And I like the way that's pictured, don't you? That's our logo. Next slide, please. That's Chuck Lorre. I call him Deacon, I call him Coach. He's the one that really opened the door for me to go in the center and do it exactly anything that God wanted me to do. I led him to the Lord. But boy, I tell you, you can kind of get a picture, his feel how much he loves kids just by that. Isn't that a good shot? Next slide. Is one of my leaders, he's no longer with me. Boy, I wish I had him. Of course, over here you can see that guy with the big stomach. That's my father. But anyhow, we'll move. And this is Jamia. You can probably see Jamia sitting right here. Okay, let's flip the next one. The world's most greatest dad. You see Teresa over here? You probably can't make her out, but Talisa right next to her youngest daughter. Another one of my grandkids, and the guy's teaching away. Keep going. Of course, I confess, that's Tony. And that's another one of my grandkids. I got 19 of them. I forget their names, and I forget their faces sometimes. I think that might be Janaya. They're gladiators, too. Moving on. I just had to show you that shot. That's Mark Palmer. Who knows Mark Palmer? His son did these pictures. That guy's an excellent photographer. Isn't that a great picture? Keep it moving. Somebody's winning that game, amen. Of course, that's Jamia, that's her name. And I forget who that one is. Keep it moving. One of the kids in the center, he said, give me a shot of me dunking the ball. So we made it look like he was dunking. He wasn't really dunking, amen. But this was the center that they opened up the door to me to go in there and bring Christ to that center and preach the gospel, and just gave me free reign. You know, I tell the kids, don't call me pastor, call me grandpa. A lot of them don't have grandpas. Keep going. And see, one of the things that, you know, what's his name? One of the gurus back in the day, his name was... He wrote a book called Experiencing God. Blackaby. He said this, if you want to know God's will for your life, sometimes just take a walk back down memory lane and look at some of the things that God was doing in your life up until today. And as I look back, I realize that God always put me around kids, young people, always. And I realize now, one of the reasons why is because a lot of them growing up the way I did. My mother died at three when I was 3 years old. I still don't know exactly who my father is. My oldest sister said, your daddy is Dr. Anthony Jordan, the family doctor. That's why they call you Anthony, because your name is Ant, and so on and so forth. That's okay, fine with me. I know who my heavenly father is. Amen. That's me standing next to the church. Remember that building, Vic? You probably don't remember that. You're getting kind of old. But anyhow, next slide. Okay. There's the church here. And there's a close proximity over there to the recreation center. I led a literacy reading program there, but I was teaching them how to read the Bible and stuff like that. Amen? Keep it moving. These are some of the guys on the block. A couple of them are murderers, guys. But I befriended them. Only with the love of God. They even let me film this. I had to ask him if I could film them. We trust you, Pastor. Go ahead. Keep it moving. That's the most infamous block for murders and killing. And I don't say that, you know, as a novelty. I really, really don't. It's a sad scenario. I had to bury a kid a couple of houses away. He got ambushed. Keep it moving. Here's my father again. I ain't gonna point them out. But these kids, they were, big time dope dealers. They told me once that if I ever needed some new teeth, just let them know. They can collect that amount of money in just a day. I didn't take them up on it because I didn't want them to think that I owed them something. This is the community center. You know, I used to have community events there for the neighborhood. And there was one time we had at least 3,000 people there from all over the area. And I had a pastor friend of mine come and look over the field behind the church. And he said this, he said, "Pastor Tony, you got what churches are paying millions of dollars for. You got an outdoor playground, you got basketball courts, you got a field, you got a gymnasium." I said, "Well, it all belongs to God anyhow." Amen. And didn't have to pay a cent for it. But anyhow, God provides. I'm praying over the community. And the next slide shows me praying over the community from my house. Heart's very burdened for my Jerusalem. That window over here to the left is the one where I saw a guy get shot 9 times. But he lived. Keep moving. The view of me praying over the city. And of course, you know who that is. That's my brown sugar. Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Foot, Sugar Cane Saxton. Okay. I have more slides, more pictures, but I don't have time to show them. I just want to, you know, a picture speaks more than 1,000 words. Amen. My heart is certainly burdened. Let me read this to you before I get into the lesson. And I'll try to do it with some inflection. I started to ask Edie to do it because I know she's a perfect reader. But I didn't get here soon enough. So we spared you. God's Gladiators Ministry. God's Gladiators is a Christ-centered discipleship or mentoring ministry. It is founded in 1993 by evangelist Anthony Saxton while he served as senior pastor of Charity Bible Baptist Church from April 1992 through February 2012. Some aspects of this ministry had been and is still being used by people of all ages to help those who are faithful to its disciplines to be more Christ-like. Which God's Gladiators, spiritually speaking. God's Gladiators, spiritually speaking, are soldiers in God's spiritual army who are equipped with spiritual armor. They too are then trained to defend themselves and to fight against the spiritual enemies to the glory of God. You are a gladiator if you're saved. No man that warreth entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who has chosen you to be a soldier. You are soldiers in God's army. Need I remind you that Christianity is not a playground, it's a battleground. Our vision is God's vision. It is to see his gladiators conform to the image or likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Our mission is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love people as Jesus does, to serve others in love, and to tell everyone about the love of God. The purpose for God's Gladiators ministry is to teach our members biblically and personally by personal example, how to learn and apply the spiritual disciplines that will help them to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. This ministry will also provide spiritual family relationships with God as our Father and as members of his family, opportunities for one-on-one discipleship or mentoring, a positive alternative to negative gang membership, which is satanically influenced. Our arch enemy, the devil, uses our intrinsic need for positive family relationships to deceive those with and without good family relations into joining gangs or any other affiliation other than family. He then uses that affiliation as a tool to steal, kill, and destroy their lives. We're allowing anybody to join. Save the lost. Those who are saved, we refer to them as official gladiators. Those who are lost, they can join as long as they adhere to whatever guidelines we have. It's true for anybody. If they're saved, if they don't adhere to the guidelines, then they can't continue to be part of the ministry. Our Gladiators ministry is designed to mirror the original Boys and Girl Scouts organization, the original. Our United States military, the Awana ministry, and the Olympians ministry. Who remembers the Olympians ministry back in the day? Am I the oldest one here? Anyhow. How? By utilizing some of their ranking systems to promote those who are worthy, by using awards, rewards, and other incentives to encourage members to grow in the area of personal integrity, by utilizing various field trips to enhance real life-changing experiences, by teaching members how to serve at home and in our communities and on present and future jobs, by bringing in guest speakers who will encourage our gladiators to follow Christ throughout their lives and who will strengthen our resolve to stand as examples of the goodness of God in our communities, to encourage them to do their best academically, to the glory of God, enhance their quality of life, by creating a fun-filled environment with disciplines that will encourage them to continue their membership and others to become members, by teaching our members to submit to God's ordained authority. These are all things that kids want and need. Amen? I can retire into something like this. I envision this as being akin to George Mueller's ministry. It's a God-given burden. And I'm asking you to come over, Macedonian call to help. Our text tonight, our title is God's Gladiators. Our text tonight is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. You can turn there. I believe it's a portion of scripture that we should not only memorize, but also meditate on. I think you've been taught that the real blessing comes through meditation. Your pastor taught me that. Memorize the word. Meditate on it. Hide it in your heart. Obey it from the heart so that the love of God will be perfected in you, so that you can walk in the light of God's word, so that you won't sin against God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of God, the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and putting on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of evil. As if your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Finish that for me, because my mind is slipping. I must be tired. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hide it in your heart. Meditate on it. Obey it from your heart. Walk in it. If you don't, you'll be defenseless against the devil. Who needs the armor of God? All of God's children. Every man and woman, boy and girl needs the armor of God, because they're defenseless against the enemy. However, unless you're saved, you don't have the armor, but you can have it. The moment you repent and you surrender your heart and your life to Christ. Until you do, you're in the wrong army. Whether you know it or not, it's the truth of God's word. Every man, woman, boy, and girl needs the armor. You say, what about the little kids? They need it more than you do. Do you realize what the enemy is, the damnable, devilish, demonic indoctrination that they're being exposed to today? Without apology? And at one time, he used to do it deceitfully, but it's wide open now. My kids bring it, my grandkids, my 9 and 11-year-old bring stuff constantly. Look, God, Grandpa, look at this. Look what they're saying. Look what this program is saying. Look at Disney. Look what they're teaching in school. We think that all this nonsense is coming through the liberal community, and they're just being influenced by the demonic indoctrination. We all need the armor. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. He's talking to his children. What is the armor of God? Although the armor is pictured as being physical, it is not. It's spiritual. The physical aspect of the armor pictures at least two great spiritual truths. Let me say this. As a pastor, when I used to teach this, I could take about 6-7 weeks to teach on the armor. And that really wasn't enough time. It's a teaching that is, you can't exhaust it. And so I had to kind of condense it down to really focus on maybe the main truths. And I believe that two of the main truths of the armor is that although it's pictured as being physical, it emphasizes at least two great spiritual truths. It pictures, number one, the characteristics of the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can turn if you want, but John, I'm going to read from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and also verse 14. And proving who this living Word is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. All things were made by him, and was not anything made that was made. Amen? The Word was made flesh. Folks, that's Jesus. And dwelt among us. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's Jesus. Can I get an amen? He is the living Word. Jesus was God manifest in human flesh and now in the glorified body. Here's how the armor of God pictured the characteristics of Christ. Ephesians 6:14, you can stay there if you like. Stand therefore, having your goings girded about with truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't get any better than that. You know, I tell you what, Satan hates that. How did he have the audacity to say that? Oh, the devil, you're a liar, because you know why he says that, because you know the devils know who he is, and they tremble. He is the Holy One of God. He is the way, the truth, and life. You can't come to God any other way. Forget what the Muslims say. Forget what the Catholics say, or even the Baptists, they don't say the same thing about him. He's the only way to God. He is the door. And much, much more. I thought I'd add that. Jesus is truth personified. Ephesians 6:14b, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6 says this, and this is his name whereby we shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tiskenu. I don't have my Hebrew down really quick, so I don't know all the accents and stuff. And he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's given us his righteousness. He just wants us to work it out. Jesus is our righteousness. Ephesians 6:15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Isaiah 9:6 says, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of who? The Prince of Peace. Listen, he is our source of peace. If you want to experience the peace that passes all understanding, man, you got to go to Jesus. If you want to have peace with God, you got to go to him. He is our peace. The Prince of Peace. Jesus is the source and the Prince of Peace personified. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. It all begins and ends with him. Putting your faith and trust in him. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And put on the helmet of salvation. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His name, Jesus, is Jehovah Saves. And the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Once again, Jesus is the living word of God. When you put off the old man, you put on the new man, you are putting on the characteristics of Christ. I wasn't going to go there, but God told me to. So open your Bibles, please. Y'all are starting to yawn a little bit. You know, your time clocks are starting to go off. You're used to getting out of here at 7 o'clock, and hang in there. Lord, help him, I pray, dear God, please, to hang in there. I'll be done in a second. Where did I say I was going to go? I was just testing you. Ephesians. See if you're still awake. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, the characteristics of Christ, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth, the belt of truth, with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry. Be angry at sin, but don't sin. And don't hate the sinner, lest you hate yourself. God even tells us to love our enemies, if we want to be like him. Neither give place, don't give Satan opportunity for nothing. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What is corrupt communication? Can somebody tell me what that is? So you won't tell me. Okay, read on. The scripture will speak for itself. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Some people think, well, corrupt communication is cussing. Yeah, it is, but more than that. That some people can cuss you out. Amen. Some people can cuss you out without saying a cuss word. Some people can discourage you, especially with their negativity. Some people can be used of the devil to be an accuser of the brethren. Always pointing out your faults. That doesn't encourage anybody. That discourages people. Ladies, if you want to encourage your husband, Boost him. Don't lie, but find something that that rascal does that's worth complimenting, or something he can do. Boost him up. Don't listen to the devil, because I'll tell you what, and you've been victimized by that, because I've heard some of that way you talk to some of your husbands, and I tell my wife all the time, listen, baby, you sound like the accuser of the brethren. I told her the other day, she didn't do something I wanted to do, so I was trying to really talk her into doing it, and she wouldn't do it. I said, you know what, you make me angry. You know what she told me? Be angry and sin not. She's smarter than me. I told her, I said, baby, I'll listen to you as long as you're not acting like Eve. As long as you are walking in the spirit. She said, likewise, buddy. You know what I said? Amen, sister. You gotta talk to each other the right way. Encouraging words, man. Is that part of the armor? You bet your life it is. Because Satan will use your tongue. And I'm not talking just about the devil outside. I'm talking about that devil that is in you. That old man that refuses to acknowledge the fact that he's crucified. And I know, ladies, you think you don't have an old man. I'm talking about that old woman, too. Call her the spirit of Jezebel if you want. Oops, did I say that? You know, I got a bunny trail real quick. There was one day I was preaching on Jezebel, and I had Yvonne just come up and just give some comments before I preached. And she, you know what she said? She said, ladies, you might as well admit it. We all have a little Jezebel in us. By the time she started talking, she got done talking, there were ladies coming to the altar. All I'm saying, folks, is this. There's an old sin nature that we have that Satan will try to influence you to turn against God and other people. I'm going to say it here lest I forget. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. He wants us to fight with each other. And he's got the whole world doing that. Come on, somebody. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building each other up. That's what the gifts are for. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. How do you grieve him? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He's grieved when we talk to each other, we treat each other that way because we're acting like the devil. Come on, somebody. This is what excites him. This is what, you know, it's time that people are grieved and they're feeling upset and they don't know what's going on. You better check in and see whether or not you haven't grieved the Spirit of God. Because when he's grieved, you're not going to experience that love and that joy and that peace. But when he's not, you'll experience that love and joy and peace even when you don't feel like it. Even when things aren't clicking the way they're supposed to in your estimation. I'm getting stuck here. Let me move on. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. All I'm trying to say is this. These are the characteristics of Christ, the living word of God. When we put on the characteristics of Christ as a Christian, and we can do that, God tells us to put off the old man and put on a new man. He wouldn't tell us to do anything he doesn't give us grace to do. We need to practice that. And you have this knowledge in you. We know right from wrong. How much more a Christian? The armor of God also pictures the written word. Having the loins girded about with truth. The word of God is truth. John 17:7. and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 calls the word of God the word of righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 says that the gospel comes from the word of God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... Put on the helmet of salvation. How many of you know that the word of God will protect your mind from the devil? How many of you know that the battlefield is not just the mind, but it's for the mind? And God has given us weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Satan wants to get a stronghold in your mind. Casting down imaginations, vain imaginations. You know what that is? Worthless thinking that the enemy wants to put. I got a stronghold on my mind right now. And I ain't going to tell you what it is. I know you ain't got to tell me yours. But there's a sin that easily besets us. And Satan knows how to push that button. And I tell you, if we're not obedient to the word of God, he got your mind where he wants you. Casting down imaginations, every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into obedience and captivity of Christ, having readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The helmet of salvation will save your mind, will protect your mind. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus used the word of God very skillfully when he had his day with the devil. As it is written, and as it is written, as it is written. The physical armor pictures two great spiritual truths: the characteristics of Christ, the written word of God. How do you put it on? I'm glad you asked. Put on the characteristics of, put on the new man by being obedient to the word of God. And you'll be suited up. And the enemy can't touch you, but he'll still try. And God will allow that armor to be bludgeoned, bloodied. He'll test your faith. But you'll fight from victory. You're more than a conqueror. I could go on and on, but I said 7:15. And you guys are really tired. You're going to be snoring up in here. And me too. So I'm going to just stop there, because you know the rest of the story. Who... What is the armor of God? Who, what, when do you need the armor? Don't ever take it off. Who, what, when, where does it come from? The weapons of our God, our weapons of are mighty through God. It comes from God. Who, what, when, where, why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'll say this. I got another, I'm going to take a minute on this thought. Sister, you're a Bible scholar. When Jesus... When Jesus told Peter and the rest of those rascals that he was going to get buried and die, and the third day he's going to rise again, and the big mouth one stands up and says, "Not so, Lord." It's Peter. What did the Lord say? You know what he was talking to? That spirit behind him. Folks, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Don't let the devil bedazzle you into scrapping with other people. Look for the spirit behind that person and wrestle with that spirit. You be like Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, listen, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord. You can read that in Nehemiah 4:14. Remember the Lord, who is awesome, and fight not against your wife, for your wife, your husband. Fight for your children, not against your children. Fight for your country. Fight for your government. Find ways to fight for your government. Pray for them. Fight on your knees. You want to lead a quiet and a peaceable life. I said, I'm done, so I don't want to be a liar. We wrestle not with how. How do you put on the armor? Let's close with this prayer. And if you would, you can. You don't have to say this prayer, but one like it. Repeat after me in your heart or out loud, it doesn't matter. Dear Lord, I thank you for the armor. Please fill me with your spirit so that I can put on the belt of truth, so that I can put on the breastplate of righteousness, so that I can have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, by sanctifying the Lord God in my heart and be ready to give an answer to every man for the reason of hope that is in me. Fill me with your spirit so that I can use the shield of faith so that I can quench all the fiery darts of the devil as you promise. Help me to put on that helmet of salvation and help me to skillfully use the sword of the spirit the way you did when you had your day with the devil. Lord, help me to pray with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Help me to put on that full armor of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Who's closing the service?